Yeah, that's right. Flula, milkman. Party times!
Live from San Luis Obispo, you are listening to Hurricane and Scroggs. I am JD Scroggin. He is the Hurricane, but you can call him Owen Main. He is turning me down in the headphones. It looks like I was too loud. Was I too loud?
No, you're good.
I'm the second person in a week you've had to turn down in the headphones, apparently. This is what I'm hearing. You had a special guest on the Fansmanship podcast.
I did. Your colleague, Alex J. Jankowski.
Uh-huh.
AKA Truthkowski, AKA Deskowski, AKA Pulowski.
I call him Corn Dog.
Corn Dog. I like it. Does he eat a lot of corn dogs?
No, his parents almost named him Cornelius after Cornelius Bennett because he's from Buffalo.
That's fantastic. I mean, they could have chosen Thurman, Bruce, Cornelius, though.
Yeah. So I call him Corn Dog.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. But apparently he was too loud. He blew out the speakers or what?
I just turned him down a little bit. Oh, okay. Headphones. Yeah. He was good.
It was funny because I gave him some advice before he came in. I said, hey, dude, I know you're going on Fansmanship, but don't copy Owen's AM radio voice, like the NPR, like Owen's go-to NPR radio voice. Because I said, if both of you are doing it like that, I'm not going to be able to listen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. See, exactly. You don't.
I don't know. What do you think?
You have no clue.
Do I have my AM radio voice on? Come on.
Yeah. Okay. I told him. I said, if you guys both do
I don't
that,
do my AM radio voice all the time, though.
I know, but you slip in and out of it.
I do.
Like so seamlessly that you don't even realize you're doing it, I think.
Yeah.
And I just...
It's like a tick. It's like a tick.
And I love listening to you guys talk. And I did listen to the episode, I will say. But I did warn him in advance. I'm like, if you guys...
pretty random.
If you guys both do the voice... I'm going to press eject.
My hostmanship needed to improve on that episode. But so here we are. We haven't been together for an episode of this podcast in probably 2 or 3 weeks at least.
I know.
I was sick.
That's a good thing that it feels so long.
I was about dying the last time we did this, and then I got sicker. And so we didn't do one the following week. And then I was out of town, and it was mostly on me.
So. Hey, I've been busy too,
prepared.
Man. I do things. I have stuff. I was busy.
Yeah, but you were also available for the podcast.
A little bit, yeah. No, so, but it was super busy, though, because baseball season started, and you know me.
And basketball's still going on.
I have to pay attention to all these sports all the time, and when there's multiple sports going on at the same time, my life is pretty hectic.
March is pretty much like February, March, and these like 3 weeks are pretty much the most busy for you, right?
Yeah, it's the busiest time of the whole year for sports reporter. If you ask me, anyway,
for a college beat writer.
Yeah, February, March, because you're getting end of basketball season, beginning of a baseball season, and yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely
crazy.
So, and then as soon as the NCAA or Big West tournament is over, things will kind of
then uncrazy.
Right, just baseball.
Yeah.
At that point, which is really, I think, fun if you're a writer on some level and you like hanging out at the stadium. Like, I think baseball can be a good time.
It's kickback.
It is. It's awesome.
Put your feet up. Don't have to do anything.
That's awesome.
Do podcasts all day, every day if you want.
Podcast food. Absolutely. So we have lots of stuff to talk about today.
I know, right?
We have 3 weeks worth of stories and anecdotes, maybe.
Yes.
And fun stuff.
Yes. There's a lot to catch up on.
There's a slow news day.
We're not going to be able to do it all, though, right?
No.
Because I know how you like to keep it short.
You know, yeah, I do. And I don't want to get too meta in terms of the podcast.
But I'll put it this way. I was not surprised to see that the Fansmanship.com podcast with Alex J. Jankowski, a.k.a. Corndog, was like 56 minutes on the dot. Because like you like aim for 56 minutes, and you're just like, you're like M. Bison from Street Fighter, and you just like do the corkscrew, like boom, and go right for 56 minutes. The 56 minute mark is like your bullseye.
Is that my mark in your mind?
Yeah, totally.
Really?
I was completely unsurprised.
Okay.
To see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it being shorter as well. I've done shorter ones with coaches and other people like that.
Because they don't want to be talking. Coaches don't want to be talking that long.
I've done that long with Calero before.
Well, okay. With a few caveats. Most coaches don't want to be talking that long.
Yeah, I think I did that one with Larry Leaf for like 45 minutes a couple of years ago.
That's a triumph.
That was good. And this year it was about 30, 35. So yeah, it's good.
He's cutting back on you.
So we have a slow news day today, and we also have the segment that everybody's raving about.
Yes, and we have names for our segments. That's what we needed. We let a 3-week break so we could come up with two names.
We also have a segment.
That's how long we need to brainstorm.
JD's segment about how would you describe your segment?
When we conceived it, it was just like Scroggs Geek Stuff, right, basically. But that's like a dumb name, you know, Scroggs Geek Stuff.
It's going to be called Scroggin in Public.
Correct. Yeah. Because, and here's the theme behind it. As far as my, you know, before as the public really knows about me, is that I am a sports reporter. I write about athletics. I'm a journalist. And that's pretty much it. This segment is me basically bearing my soul in public. The real me. The person who I am on the inside, which is a total...
The one that loves the TV show Gotham.
Yeah, well... loves to hate the TV show Gotham, I think, at this point. Although, you know what? I'm going to completely wash my hands, I think, of Gotham. Some people are... some of our friends I know are out there just watching it to, like, make fun of how bad it is.
Yeah, you're over
it,
huh?
Yeah, I can't even
It's not
that.
Even worth your time.
Yeah,
I hope that wasn't your Scroggin in public.
No. Have a good one. But basically, the person I am in the inside is comic book geek. So Scroggin in Public is going to be, you know, pretty much in that vein, like
in that realm. Yeah,
comic media.
It's a good realm. It's a good realm to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll also have my segment, and I'll try to keep it to a minute or less. And I've tossed around names in college. I had a column in the newspaper at college called Oh Knows. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to call it Oh Knows, like Bo Knows, Oh Knows. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, play on words. And everybody can
Mine's also
that.
A play on words. Did you know that?
It is. It, okay.
I No, yeah or no?
Yeah, Scroggin in Public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever, do you know what the...
No, I don't.
You should go to, have you ever seen that website Urban Dictionary?
Yes.
Go look up Scroggin sometime. You don't have to do it now, Owen. Maybe you at home can do it. You don't have to do it now. I'm saying you don't have to. Just play on words.
Okay,
while you're looking that up, if you want, I can tell everyone what I propose that your media recommendations be named Good Stuff Maynard, because it's also a play on words with your last name, Maine. And it's a throwback to two things, actually. That you know, Dobie Gillis TV series back in the day when he told his friend Maynard, and he said, "Good stuff, Maynard." That was like a quote. And then later on in the 80s, I think there was like a cereal commercial with like a dad, and he's talking to his kid about like cornflakes or something, and he's like, "Good stuff, Maynard."
Yeah.
And it kind of like was reborn. We could have rebirthed it once more.
Yeah, my
but and, Oh Knows.
And I might still go there.
Won it.
Maynard was a pseudonym for my dad, I think, when he was in
Your dad's
school.
Nickname was Maynard?
I think maybe.
Oh,
at
man.
At Mulvey High School back in the
It's
late
so
60s.
Good on so many levels.
Back in the late 60s. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how the public responds to Oh Knows, and then
Oh
we'll,
Knows did
we'll go from there. Yeah, that was a good commercial with Bo Jackson back in the day. So we'll do that. We'll do Oh Knows. We'll also have our poop news of the week, and we'll have a couple of
What's crapping in is the official name.
Yeah, that's I wanted you to say it.
We'll have our What's crapping in segment.
Yeah,
it's burning up the charts.
Burning up, stinking up the charts. And and What's crapping in will be twofold this week. So let's start with...
Let me say this before we start. I just want to say this because to get quick thoughts. I saw an article that said that there was some blog starting up, a podcast starting up that was all poop stories. Did you see that?
Steelers.
Right? Well, maybe it was just, you know, having the similar idea at the same time. This is a whole podcast decorated by
but
poop stories.
But podcasts are 5 to 10 minutes long sometimes. We could have hit that segment and filled that niche. Now somebody else has already filled the poop niche.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's poop anecdotes. Whoops.
You're okay. We're good.
It's poop anecdotes.
Okay.
I haven't listened to it. I don't know who's doing it. I just saw it came across it.
Well, maybe that's another person to get on this podcast. I know we've been working on poop office people.
Well, we haven't been working that hard.
Yeah, so we need to work a little harder.
We haven't done 1 ounce of work, to be honest.
Poop
but
office,
we could.
We
would like to have poop office creator on with us.
You're our only hope.
Yeah.
Okay. So
we're so irregular, like our meet times, that it's hard to schedule an interview, but we should.
But if we scheduled one, we would make it work.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let's move on
to... Sorry, I cut you off.
You're
good. Let me legitimize your your segue.
Thanks, Sam. So we were going to talk about Slow News Day, and this week the Slow News Day came from none other than your San Luis Obispo Tribune.
Yes.
At sanluisobispo.com. And the story that I saw, and I'll kind of sum it up, I think the number was 38th most, and that is that...
Is it 38 or 28? Do you don't have it open?
I was gonna.
You want me to look for it and you can introduce it? This is crazy news, by the way. I just have to say, when I read this, I was shocked, first of all. And then I was just kind of like in awe of reading.
Yeah, 28th. You're right. Yeah. So the title.
Do not underestimate me, Laws. The title I know of things.
Matt Fountain's story is Atascadero, nation's 28th most dangerous city? No way, police say. So the idea is that.
I keep pulling the headphones out. Sorry.
Yeah, you do. So the idea is that.
Poops.
Wah, wah. The idea is that Atascadero, by some metrics that are as yet unknown, by some random website, was.
They were kind of explained in the story that Matt did.
Yeah, but it said, in an unknown year on unknown raw data. It was like, yes. Yeah, it was dumb.
They didn't say where the data came from, but they said, but they qualified it and said that Atascadero is the 28th most dangerous city in America because of the number of incidents of violent crime divided by the population divided by 1,000. So they're saying, so
violent
I don't know why
crimes per 1,000 residents.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to.
And it's unclear.
Times it by 1,000, but
and it's
whatever.
Unclear whether they also include Atascadero State Hospital, and that's really the big one. I mean, something happens there like every day that they, not every day, but like a lot of the time, violent crime happens at Ash, probably four times as much as in the rest of Atascadero.
But if it's inside the walls of a
jail,
of a prison, pretty much, then why should that count?
I agree. And
the
so that's
city's violence.
That's the but when you're running a website of the top 100 most whatever, you just look at numbers, you just look at raw data, and just say this is it. And I guess that shows their due diligence.
But was so ridiculous though. Do you really think that? Because it said in the story something
like, "You're from the mean streets of Fresno. When you go to Atascadero, are you trembling?
I feel very unsafe.
Are you trembling?
No, of course not. Well, I mean, I don't spend a ton of time at Atascadero, and I usually just go to,
the high school.
I've been to the zoo a few times.
Yeah.
I've been to
the Charles Paddock Zoo,
Diamond Adult World, the superstore. You know, they have up there on the hill.
Know.
You never been there?
No.
Oh." No. Well, that was when I first moved to the Central Coast, and actually not when I first moved to Central Coast, when I first moved in with my wife. At that time, we were still dating, but we just moved in together. That was our only reason for going to Atascadero. We would make a day out of it, you know, like drive. We were living in South County. We would drive up to Atascadero, go to Diamond Adult World, you know, browse around, see what we might want to purchase, and then go down and go to Yogurt Creations, and then head home. It was like a
family outing.
Yeah, it was like an outing. We like made a day of it.
There you go.
So
awesome.
I never felt like my life was being threatened.
No.
At that establishment.
No. Not at all.
Or at the zoo, for that matter.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. The zoo. Uh-huh. The zoo is somewhere I spent a lot of time. I have cousins that grew up in Atascadero.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time there. Yeah. No. It's absolutely not. Dangerous.
No,
it's,
this is shocking.
It's
to
hilarious.
Me.
It's hilarious, and it's kind of shocking. But when you know what kinds of lists these guys put together, and these guys have probably got at this website, they've probably gotten 50,000 hits from San Luis Obispo County people, or 20,000 hits from people who read the Tribune and got the link.
So you have the list in front of you.
That's why you do it. I don't have the list, but let me get it.
Because I'll tell you, Atascadero ranked higher than Stockton. Can you believe that?
neighborhoodscout.com was the list.
Yeah. I was like, "What? This is there's no way. There must have been a typo somewhere." I mean, even if you do include the state hospital, there's no way that there's so much violence that goes on inside the state hospital that it's worse than Stockton.
So Atascadero's 28.
Isn't Stockton like the carjacking capital of the world? I think I read a story on that before.
Atascadero's 28. Just above Atascadero is Trenton, New Jersey at 27. And at 31 is Newark, New Jersey. It's like, are you serious? You think that kind of crime happens in those places? Stockton's number 41. Let's see, other California places. There's not a ton. A lot in Texas, Houston, Richmond. Richmond, California comes in at 68.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these places, they have bad reputations. I don't know personally about them. I can't say Richmond's a rough neighborhood. You hear
Pueblo,
that it is.
Colorado, where I've lived, is number 99 on this list. So
yeah.
There you go.
I will say this. One time I went down south. What was I covering? I think it was a CIF track meet or something, and I was staying in Long Beach. and I drove, and I was looking for a restaurant that I was trying to find, and I drove from Long Beach to Bellflower, and I had to drive through East Side Long Beach, you know, and you always hear about the rap songs, you know, like Snoop Dogg, like, East Side Long Beach.
Were there homies shooting dice, and did you say, let's do this?
Well, dude, it was the middle of the day, and I'm driving down, like, the main drag or whatever, and there was, like, 3 or 4 police incidents happening simultaneously, unrelated. Like, police had a car pulled over. Police were had a guy on the side of the road a few blocks away. You know, police had lights and sirens and zoomed past me, all in the stretch of like a mile. Wow. And I came away from it thinking like, wow, this must be a rough
neighborhood.
Place. You know, yeah.
Interesting.
I've never felt, and I don't know if it is or not. I haven't spent that much time there. That was just one afternoon I was there.
Sure.
Atascadero?
Yeah, come on. Come on. That's what I say to people who think that there's a place, you know, in San Luis Obispo County. I say, come on.
Yeah. That's what it makes me think of, like, remember Crocodile Dundee when he's in New York City and the you know, little scummy guy comes up to him with a little switchblade.
Tries to mug him.
Yeah. Mug him. He's like, that's not a knife. This is a knife. That's what I feel like about like the crime on the Central Coast. Like if the gangs or crime here try to like, you know, show its muscle, I feel like, you know, the worst crime areas around the country would be like, this is a no, that's not crime. This is crime.
I have one other slow news day that I want to bring up randomly and
this is a surprise.
Off book here. There was a couple that was arrested this week, and they had something like 100 and something people's mail.
Oh, I saw that.
And it was in like I think it was like Guadalupe, Napomo area. And and we've talked about the person who tried to steal the package from your front door.
Yep. I got a quick anecdote for that too, if you want, I'll share.
And so I thought of you when this news story came up. I thought, man, I wonder if these are the people that have been stealing packages from the street that JD used to live on.
Possibly. Could be.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's people still out there too. I don't think it was a 2-person operation.
I don't think so either.
That's probably a ring.
Or a ring that's unrelated, potentially.
Or multiple cells of package snatchers.
Sleeper cells?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you this. A couple days ago at home, I was home in the middle of the day, and I heard someone at the door, and it sounded like they said, like, UPS. Because, like, you know when the UPS guy drops a package, they go, UPS, and then they run off. And then you go there, they're gone, but there's a package there. So it sounded like that's what this person said, but it was a woman. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I've never heard a woman UPS driver in this neighborhood before. I'm sure they exist, but I had never heard it.
You hadn't seen one, right?
Yeah, so I was interested. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go look out the window and see this woman UPS driver. So I go to the window, I look out, and I see a woman, and she's dressed in plain clothes, not the, you know, brown uniform, running down the driveway.
Towards your house?
Towards a waiting car, away from my house.
Uh-huh.
Towards a waiting car, and I'm looking, I'm like, what is this? And there's a car waiting with the door open. Well, I didn't know it happened so fast. I'm telling you, she runs to this waiting car, jumps into the passenger seat, slams the door, and the car peels off.
So did she steal your mail?
I don't know. The mailbox is on the street. It's not at the door. She came all the way to the door and said something. And then I'm thinking, wait, did she just snatch something, like a package or something? I wasn't expecting anything, so I immediately texted my wife. I'm like, were you expecting a package? Right. It didn't look like she was holding anything, or if she was holding something, it was really small.
Weird.
And then peeled off.
Weird.
And so then I was mad. I was like, wait, did she take something? So I opened it. I was saying, I better see some sort of like flyer or advertisement or something. Like, this woman better be dropping something off. Right. Nothing was there.
Weird.
It was weird. So I'm still, I'm not sure.
Because that's somebody you want to karate chop. I mean, that's your fantasy, is to karate chop a package snatcher.
Yes. Sweep the leg and then karate chop right to the throat.
Hold them down till the authorities arrive.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, in that case, I would have been outnumbered because there was another guy in the car. So I don't know. I don't know how brave I would have been.
You'd have to pull out your real Street Fighter moves.
Yes. I would have been calling you up like, hey, how do I do that M. Bison move where you spin like that towards 56 minutes? Is it up, down, left, right?
We are spinning well towards 56 minutes on the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast here.
Totally.
With JD Scrog and I'm Owen Main. To kind of reset here, let's do. Are you ready to move on?
Is that what you wanted to say about that story?
I thought about you and how you wanted to karate chop some people, and these might be the people that you wanted to karate chop. It was a really sad story too, because there were a couple kids in the back seat. There was like meth and stuff that was found around him. I mean, it's just
brutal.
It just sucks. Like, I just, there's nothing good about that story, except that maybe people got their mail back.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Hopefully.
And people didn't get their identity stolen because they were, yeah, they were like, that's what they were doing. They're forging checks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
You got to pay attention to that stuff. I'm always, you know, scared of my mail. I saw some. I used to live in an apartment building in Merced, and I remember there was people who would go through the dumpster looking for mail. I caught them one time.
Dude, what'd you say to them?
Nothing. I don't remember what I said. I was like a little punk kid. You know, I was like fresh out of college.
Right.
So, but I realized they were going through unopened letters and stuff.
Right. And there's guys who drive around San Luis Obispo on bicycles with like plastic bags and trailers that like go sort for cans and stuff. But I always worry that somebody's going to act like they're sorting for cans, but actually try to steal like identities and mail and stuff, yeah, too. Cause it's all,
possibly,
it's all in the recycle bin if you don't shred,
yep,
it. So,
yep,
got to make that happen, people. Let's move on. Do you want to do Scroggin' in Public or Oh No's first?
We can go me or you. Let's go you.
Okay. Let's go Oh No's. So
Oh No's.
This is the segment where I try to spend about a minute on.
I'm not going to do a minute just so you know.
I know. I try to spend about a minute on a website. I have a timer right here that's running. I try to spend about a minute on a website or some piece of technology or something that I recommend to people, whether it's a, I guess it could be like a video game. I guess it could be something going on around town even, now that I'm talking about it. But today it's going to be a website.
Oh No's websites.
Tonight I'm going to be at the Cal Poly home opener for the baseball team, that hosted a regional last year. I should mention that Josh is going to be there too. At that game, because that's his job to cover, yeah, Cal Poly.
Yes.
But it's going to be a fun night. And this year, last year, I had two gentlemen on who are national baseball writers. I had a guy named Aaron Fitt on the Fansmanship podcast, who at the time was writing for Baseball America. And I also had a guy named Shotgun Spratling, who has the most amazing baseball writer name maybe in history. Shotgun at the time was writing for College Baseball Daily. Over this past offseason, a number of the best, I think, in my opinion, the best national college baseball writers got together and formed, I don't know exactly how it all came together, but all of them are now, a lot of the best national baseball writers now are now at a site called d1baseball.com, D with the number one baseball.com. It used to be a website where you could find schedules and stuff, but now it's a website where you can get a lot of really great coverage, and Shotgun's part of it, Aaron Fitt, Kendall Rogers, Michael Bauman, I think it's Bauman, it could be Bowman. You know, there's a lot of people at this website who are really quality people who I started following last year or the year before as Cal Poly was really good and people had stuff to say. And so it's definitely a follow if you're in San Luis Obispo, if you're a baseball fan. D1baseball.com is a good place to follow, you know, for college baseball and everything that's going on with that. That was a little longer than a minute, but I figured I could take liberties.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I'm not going to hold you to it, whatever.
Thank you.
The last time I timed you, though, and you were right on the minute, and you were like, boom, done, minute. I was timing you. I didn't know you were timing yourself. Oh. You were timing yourself. I thought I was timing you, and I was also shocked. I was like, "Whoa, you hit a minute exactly!"
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I even went home, and as I'm driving home, I'm thinking like, "Oh, how did Owen do that?"
It's skills, knew a minute. Man. Skills.
No, you were timing yourself on the computer. I had no clue.
You didn't know that I had a timer on.
No,
here? I can tell how long we've been going all the time. That's why I tell you how long it was.
I know you can tell the total time, but I wasn't realizing that you were looking when you started going counting down the seconds.
I start at 28 seconds, and I end at 28 seconds, or whatever it was.
Man.
I'm not sorry.
You don't have to be sorry, but you pulled the wool over my eyes, and now I'm disappointed and ashamed.
Well, I apologize / don't apologize for that. So yeah.
Well, I accept / don't accept.
D1baseball.com is fun. I had another guy on my podcast recently named Dustin Nosler, who's more of a Dodgers prospects writer, and that was pretty fun to have him on as well. You know, it's a good time when you can talk to different people who have different perspectives, and I hope that's something that we can do on this podcast more often, I think, is to have people like the Poop Office creators and kind of some randomish guests.
Yeah, it's totally. We should have some guests. I've had a couple friends who have even said like, "Hey, you know,
who wants to be on?
I'll go on.
Who wants to?
I don't want to throw names out there yet.
If they've said they want to,
you
want
them?
Already said it.
If they've said they want to, you want them?
Probably.
We haven't talked about it. That's why I'm not saying.
Probably.
Okay. There's a couple of candidates. We'll talk about it off the air.
Okay. We'll talk about it offline.
I don't want to lock you into anything you don't want.
I'm usually pretty easy about that stuff.
I know.
Yeah, you do know. Yeah. So should we get into...
Well, let me just say this about the D1 baseball guys.
Yeah.
Put my one cent in.
Yeah.
It's always fun when people you know branch out and do like startup kind of things on their own.
Totally.
And are doing something that you think is exciting. So yeah, I wish them all the success. I think it's
Shotgun Spratling.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's, you know, a little bit scary to kind of go away from the Baseball America umbrella if you're Aaron Fitt and do something that's like unproven. But like you said, they're collecting a lot of talent and it's kind of interesting and exciting.
Yeah, and for people who've followed them for the last few years, it's not like they don't already have followings. It's not like they don't already have readers. And there, it's a, you can get some of the material for free. Some of it's for subscribers only or whatever, just like everything else on the internet is nowadays.
Yeah.
But if you're like a big college baseball fan or a huge Cal Poly baseball fan, subscribing to stuff like that and reading about what other teams are doing around the country, you know, I mean, for people who have a budget for that now, especially for like myself, where I don't have cable, but I do have Hulu and I do have Netflix. And so there's like a, there's some money that to be spent there. I buy like, for instance, the random MLS package, right? Online. So I can watch soccer games whenever I want. You know, you can get some random stuff like D1 baseball. I've had Ken Pomeroy's website's been recommended to me by people who know what's going on. So there's random stuff out there that you can subscribe to that can fill a void or that you can kind of get into. And yeah, it's exciting when there's people that you know who are included, who you kind of respected all separately. And now, like, you know, with Rodgers and Fitt especially, Rodgers came from Perfect Game and Fitt came from Baseball America. And now they're doing their own thing. That's really neat to me. I think that's just fantastic. And I definitely wish them, you know, all the best with that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Totally. I'm sure it's, like I said, it's a little scary, but exciting. So
it's awesome.
Wish them luck.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. So shall we get into
Scroggin in public? Yes.
Scroggin in public.
So the big news, we're kind of late on this. Like, it's not like it's new news, but the big news from Marvel Cinematic Universe movies is that Sony has granted Marvel the permission to use Spider-Man in the movies. So everyone's speculating that Spider-Man is going to be in the next Captain America movie.
Now I have
Civil
a question.
War.
Now I have a question.
Sure.
So Spider-Man was Marvel.
Yeah.
Originally. Spider-Man wasn't DC.
Correct.
Okay.
Spider-Man was created by Stan Lee in the 60s.
But they haven't been able to use Spider-Man
since like 1999 because they sold the movie rights
to Sony.
To Sony. For like $7 million or something, like some obscenely low number.
Right. And Spider-Man was never a part of any Avengers comic book, as far as you know, right?
Yeah, yeah. Spider-Man was in the New Avengers. Brian Michael Bendis wrote a series called The New Avengers in the mid-2000s.
Okay.
Where they took all the best characters and put them on the Avengers. So like Wolverine and Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
You know, along with Captain America, Iron Man, and all the movie characters, you know, that everyone knows Thor.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of like this movement.
Now,
Bendis was the writer, and it was this movement for him to basically just take all his favorite characters and put them on the Avengers for no reason other than just say, like, it's all the best characters.
Now, for people who don't know, Batman and Superman are DC.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is controlled by Warner Brothers Entertainment.
Got it. Okay.
So that Warner Brothers does the DC comics.
Which is all the Superman movies that they've put out recently.
Like, yeah, Superman, Batman. Green Lantern.
Got it. Okay.
There's a whole slate coming up. Wonder Woman is in there.
Stuff that you'd
Flash.
Find, stuff that you'd find at Magic Mountain.
Green Arrow.
Stuff that you'd find at Magic Mountain, for instance.
Okay.
Or on the CW network.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And welcome back to WB.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the frog singing.
Yes.
Very good. Are you impressed I knew that?
Well, of course you knew that because you're a big Chappelle Show fan. And I remember there was one of his bits. He was making fun of it. And he was saying something about, like, you know, they have that guy on there to kind of mock Black people.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I miss that show sometimes.
Chappelle Show.
Yeah,
yeah. It was good. Yeah. I remember it when I was in college when it first came out.
Yeah, Key and Peele do almost as good a job, I think, in terms of some of the stuff that they do.
Yeah, Key and Peele's good. We're on like a Hulu Plus trial membership right now, and
totally worth it.
And it's cool. Like that's like the coolest thing on there. I've found
Key and Peele. Key
and Peele is like the coolest thing on Hulu.
Have you seen the football introductions with the names?
Oh, yes. Sam and I watched that one a while back, like a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I was just cracking up, dying laughing. And and she was like enjoying it too. And I was like, those could be the real names. Like that's why it's funny. Cause you could picture those actually being the names.
Totally.
Yeah. And then it just gets over the top ridiculous.
Right.
You start making sounds or whatever. But for a while there, the names are like so convincing, like convincingly yeah. like normal.
Totally.
Even though in their weirdness. Yeah. yeah. That's a great bit. I yeah. thought that was awesome.
Absolutely. Cool. So back to Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Yeah. So Spider-Man, he can be in the Avengers movies, which is cool. So that's like creating like a huge buzz. Everyone's all excited.
Wow.
I am going to take this opportunity, though, to not discuss that possibility because everyone's talking about like, oh, Spider-Man's going to be in this movie. Who's going to be in that movie?
Can I just ask you this question?
Sure.
Just like off the top of that?
Go for it.
Spider-Man, the Avengers already have kind of a decent thing going on.
Yeah.
And there's already like, was it New York City? What was the city that got attacked? It was New York in New the York. Avengers.
Correct.
So isn't Spider-Man supposed to also, I mean, it's Metropolis, right? Or what's,
no, Spider-Man's in New York.
Is it New York?
Yep.
Is Spider-Man written in New York?
Spider-Man lives in Queens. Peter Parker Spider-Man lives in Queens.
So it's DC that called it different things. Metropolis.
Yeah, Metropolis, Gotham, Central okay. City, Coast City.
Okay. But
Marvel kept it pretty much everything in New York.
Okay. So I guess my question is, if there's a guy that is Spider-Man, and if he has been Spider-Man on some level, and maybe he won't be, maybe it'll be a Spider-Man, you know, Genesis story at the same time that kind of ignores the other Spider-Man movies, which is what I would guess. But
see, that's what everyone's talking about. Right now.
So I guess my question is, are you excited about it, or do you think it's gonna like mess up the Avengers on some level?
No, everyone's excited about it.
Everyone's
awesome.
But are you?
Oh yeah, totally. Because you might not know this, but the Civil War storyline that the movie is based off, because the next Captain America movie is called Civil War.
Okay.
Captain America and Iron Man take opposite sides of this divisive, legislation about superheroes, and then they have teams of superheroes that fight against each other to see who can win.
Oh, really? That's the next Avengers movie.
That's the comic that it's based off. It was called Civil War. It was a limited series by Mark Miller. Spider-Man plays a central role in that comic miniseries, so to be able to have him in the movie makes them able to be more true to the comic book storyline, which was wildly popular. So that's why people are excited, because it's like, oh, now they can be more like the comic.
Okay, all right. So that's why it's exciting. You're optimistic here. About it, but what were you going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to use that as a segue to kind of explain a theory that I have, because Spider-Man, the first two movies, everyone thinks it's like, oh, it was awesome. Everything since then, everyone pretends like that's the worst thing in the world that I've ever seen.
Like Spider-Man 3 when he became like Dark Spider-Man. Yeah. And he's like walking down the street like, hey, ladies.
I thought, first of all, let me just say, I thought that was awesome when he was emo.
Yeah, emo Spider-Man.
When he was like.
Emo Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, but it wasn't just emo. It was like emo disco. When he was emo disco Spider-Man, I loved that. I remember laughing in the theater.
It
was hilarious.
Funny. It was funny.
It wasn't true to any comic book storyline. It was just totally original. But that I was fine with that.
That
was cool. Why not have original stuff? It was funny to me.
We both appreciate.
If you can't laugh at that, then there's something wrong with you.
We both appreciate when people don't take themselves too seriously.
Exactly. And it was fun. So I enjoy that. But a lot of people hate it. But here, I'm going to give you the recipe for how to enjoy Spider-Man 3 and what makes it a good movie, even though it's not a good movie.
Okay.
Take those first three Spider-Man movies, not as the story of Spider-Man and the ballad of Spider-Man. Take those first three Spider-Man movies as the arc of J. Jonah Jameson, who was fabulously portrayed by J.K. Simmons. He's the newspaper editor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Parker, get in here. Yeah. Okay. Oh, my God.
Because I've heard some people say, if this means that J.K. Simmons
yes.
is going to be in the new Avengers, then it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. If they can get him back to being J. Jonah Jameson again, that's the best thing ever. Because he was the best thing about those Spider-Man movies. And if you look at Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 as the arc, the story arc of J. Jonah Jameson, then Spider-Man 3 is perhaps the best one of the three. And here's why. In the climactic battle at the end, when Spider-Man is fighting Venom and Sandman and Green Goblin 2 is also there, Harry, and they're all fighting, and it's like a big old thing, and Mary Jane's like up, you know, whatever, in the
clock tower.
Yeah. Okay. That scene... In the middle of that scene, uh-huh. J. Jonah Jameson is down on the city streets, and he's like, "Where's Parker? Like, I need photos of this." And he's watching the fight happen, but he doesn't have a photographer to take pictures, so he's thinking about the newspaper. And there's a little girl standing next to him, and this is the beginning of the end of J. Jonah Jameson's comeuppance, because he sees this little girl there, and he's like, "You, give me that camera," and she's like, "Okay, $50." And he's like, oh. And she's shaking him down for $50. And you're like, yes, finally. Somebody is playing. He's
standing up to J. Jonah
Jameson.
Yes,
somebody's standing up to J. Jonah Jameson, giving a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah.
And so he pays the $50. And then he gets the camera and he goes like this, starts to take a picture. And there's no film. Or no batteries or something. I can't remember.
I feel like it might have been like it's a fake camera. So you look at it and there's like a horsey or something like that.
Well, it's a little girl's camera. It's like pink. It's like a little point and shoot, you know, a little camera. Right. And so there's no film on it. And so she whips out in her pocket. She has like the film. The film,
she's
going
to shake him down for the film now.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, he's screwed. He has to pay for it. That scene in itself right there as the culmination of the arc of J. Jonah Jameson makes the whole movie and the trilogy worth it to me. So if you watch that trilogy with the idea that they're not Spider-Man movies, but J. Jonah movies.
I like it.
Spider-Man 3 is the best one.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to the Avengers movie that's coming out, and it'll be interesting to see. I think if they can get J. Jonah Jameson as Spider-Man, as Spider-Man's boss, and somehow he's covered the Battle of New York, and he's got like some scars from it. I see him, they have kind of a different level of goofy. Like Spider-Man, the movies haven't taken themselves very seriously, and the end of both Avengers movies there's been comic moments in it, but they've taken those movies pretty seriously in terms of like what the director and everybody has done with it. So I'm interested to see kind of how that gets integrated, whether that gets integrated, who plays Spider-Man in those movies too. I think, you know, that all those things will be very interesting to note along the way.
Yeah, and there's been plenty of debate about, are they going to go with a black Spider-Man? Are they going to go with a white Spider-Man? You know, Ultimate Spider-Man or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to rehash all that stuff because basically by the time this comes out, it's going to be old news or whatever.
Sure, and it already is. Yeah. As we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's talk about some poop news.
Yes.
AKA?
What's crappin' in. Our most favorite famous segment where we bring you the latest and what's happening in poop around the world.
So there are two, actually, and one I may or may not link to. On the podcast, so you can maybe hopefully click the link, or maybe you already have, to see one of them. We won't talk about that one first. First of all, we're going to talk about a roadway in Indiana, in cold, cold Indiana, where a truck accidentally spilled about 2 tons of sewage onto the roadway, causing the roadway to be closed off. And what did that sewage do when the temperature's about 10 or 15 degrees, JD?
It froze.
Poopsicles.
Yes.
Poopsicles.
Yeah.
On the highway in Indiana.
Yes. First of all, I have to dispute, like, in my mind at least, like, part of this story. Accidentally? You mean to tell me, like, I'm not saying you're saying this, but in the stories that I read about, I think I saw it on Huffington Post or something like that.
It said probably accident.
It said probably accident. Okay. Is there a situation where you can imagine anyone, truck driver, dropping 2 tons, that's 4,000 pounds. That's like a couple of elephants worth of anything from their truck. Anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's poop, feathers, you know, fruit.
So the weird thing.
Ice cream.
Yeah. It's weird for me for this reason. It's fishy.
Yes.
It smells like poop for this reason.
Yes.
It smells like poop because if I'm a driver of a sewage truck and I might leave a particular valve a little bit open, right? Let's pretend. Then that valve isn't going to just dump it all out in one place. As I'm driving, it's going to make a line of poop along the uh-huh. highway. This seemed like it was all mostly in one place on a turn, which made me think that either he kind of stopped on the side, let it out and kept going, or, you know, or something, because I can't think of a valve big enough. Unless there's just like a dump everything valve that got accidentally opened or something in the cold. I can't think of a valve big enough on a lot of these like sewage trucks that would let it all out in one place. Yeah. If you're doing 30 miles an hour or something this turn.
Yeah. But you and I are both calling BS on this story. Basically
we're calling poop.
Yeah. We're calling poop. Cause like I read one of the details I read was that it was 6 to 8 inches thick.
Right. Which means you didn't just let it out a little bit as you were doing 30.
Yeah.
You stopped and you dumped it.
Yes. And when there's like, think of it, when there's like an inch of snow,
right.
Places go crazy. Like an inch of snow.
They lose their mind.
Yeah.
This is 2 tons.
6 to possibly 8 inches.
2 tons on this road.
Snow.
2 tons on the road.
I
saw bulldozers. They said they had to salt it and do something else.
sand
and salt.
Sanded it. Can you imagine being the guy just sitting there that they call it like, hey, We need you to sand down poopsicles.
Hopefully you have a gun. You don't have to walk through it. I don't know. It's gross.
Bring your boots. Bring your boots and the rubber pants.
Yeah, definitely. And can you be like the car? Can you imagine being the car that drove through it first? You're like,
yes.
You like slide to the side. You're like, oh my gosh, what was that? And then you go back and you're like, oh, my car smells like crap. Yeah, not good.
Yeah, if you, what if you were the first person to come across that?
You know what that is? That's like a poor man's Batmobile button that you can press. You know how the Batmobile has all kinds of stuff that it shoots out, like tacks and stuff. That's like a poor man's Batmobile. Yeah. You just the sewage guy presses the button and it just lets poop all over everybody, like Back to the Future.
Yeah, you jump in, like Catwoman jumps in your car and she's like, you know, whatever, and you're like, this isn't a car. It's a toilet.
I heard you talk like that. You've seen Pete Holmes's Batmans, right?
Wait, what?
You've seen Pete Holmes. You know who Pete Holmes is?
Doesn't ring a bell.
The Pete Holmes show?
No.
He does the Batman voice. The shorts. Like he does like short clips that are on College Humor, I think.
Oh no, I haven't seen that. I'm gonna have to check this out.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta watch.
Okay.
Because he does it really good. Okay. And they're like hilarious. They're so funny. Oh. They're nice. So funny. I'll show you after the show.
Show it to me. I've seen Bat Dad. Have you seen Bat Dad?
No.
Oh, man. Dude. Owen, you need to see Bat Dad.
Bat Dad. All right. Yeah. And all of you.
We'll share after we get off.
All right. Sounds good.
For all of you on the air, go see Pete Holmes and Bat Dad.
The last poop news is one that made me really laugh hard, and I will link to it on the.
You laughed harder at this one than the 2 tons of Dookie?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally.
Really?
And I would play the audio, but I would have to set that up, and I'm not gonna because I don't have time. But it's basically
just imitate the audio. Just do
so. I'm gonna set it up. I'm gonna do the setup.
Do a parody of the audio.
Let me get the setup.
Or like an homage.
Let me get the setup.
That way you don't get sued by Westminster.
So we're at a dog show. Picture we're at a dog show in England, and we're doing agility. So the dog's jumping over ramps. It's going through hoops. It's going through tunnels. It's going up and down seesaws. And there's a British announcer. Oh, and the dog is 5.5 years old, mixed breed, and the trainer is running ahead. That's not always the best course of action to take, but sometimes it works when the trainer is this far ahead. And as he's talking, the dog is in a full sprint and literally just stops on a dime, drops its rear end, and the entire crowd, oh. And the announcer goes, oh, that's such a shame. What a shame. Oh, and he's even saying the same thing. Oh, what a shame. And the dog's disqualified. Why? Because they pooped on the course. and the lady's picking it up. The lady's picking it up in her, you know, little doggy bag. And off they go. And they're like, well, the trainer has a smile on her face, at least a smile on the outside. Because like she's like crushed because her dog didn't win agility. So I thought that was pretty funny. It was pretty much the funniest thing that I saw all day today.
Yeah. What made you laugh so hard?
The reaction of the crowd and the announcer and the fact that he's a British announcer and it's like a proper thing and the dog just stops on a dime and everybody knows what's going to happen.
He goes, oh.
And everybody knows what's going to happen.
You know what reminded me?
As soon as the dog started to stop, everybody's like, oh, I know what's going to happen right now.
It reminded me of, remember those old like NFL films where there's like the Cowboys tight end or receiver in the Super Bowl and he like drops a touchdown pass that would have won him the game and the announcer's like, oh, he must be the sickest man in America or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. Yeah.
That was the level of, oh.
It was like the extreme dog disappointment. And as somebody who owns a dog, you know,
the dog
that's
didn't
what they
care,
do.
Though.
Dog
the dog
didn't
did
give
not.
A, the dog did give a crap,
yes.
But he didn't give a crap.
The dog did not care whatsoever. The dog was like, well, hold on.
Yeah,
and then the poops came out, and it was on TV.
He wanted to keep doing the slalom. He wanted to go do the slalom afterwards.
The interesting thing to me about this was that not only did they get the action of the dog pooping, they did a replay. The first shot was from above, like they were shooting like monster trucks, like at the top of the arena. The camera's coming down.
The regular camera.
Then
angle.
The second camera, they go to camera two as the dog's squatting,
camera
and it's
two.
A rear
camera
view.
What? Camera two.
It's
camera
a rear view tail
camera
view
two.
Poop view. Like in the anus of the poop coming out.
With a big red X over
they
it.
Do a replay. Yes, they put an X on it.
So you don't see it actually coming out. Thank you. Although if you have a dog, you've seen the dog do that, and it's just not, you know.
Yeah,
that's
it didn't
just part
look,
of having a dog.
It didn't look like unlike any other dog pooping anywhere
yeah,
in the
no,
world.
Yeah, no. It was just in the middle of AstroTurf City here in the in this competition, and you could just imagine all the people and how disappointed they all were that, you know, that Sparky pooped in the middle of the thing. So
yeah. Now, if it had been, this would have been really eyebrow raising if the dog had just pooped while it was running and didn't care.
That would have been amazing. That would have been impressive.
Then I would have been like, all right, let's do that as the lead story for What's Crapping, because that would have been awesome.
Like that marathon runner.
Yeah, like marathon runners that poop and pee because they can't stop.
Yeah, there you go.
The dog should have committed to the obstacle course and just went.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you got to stop, though, man. Sometimes you got to let it go that way.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, but this is pretty much an athletics competition, and you need to be mentally strong to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's
kind of
the
stuff.
Other
you
thing.
You have to overcome adversity.
So I guess the deal is that, you know, dogs are creatures of habit for sure, right? Like, and that's why they're able to do these obstacles so quickly, is because they've done them before and there's been repetition. Our dog at 9 o'clock, we can just get up off the couch. And she knows it's time to load up in her kennel, and she's going to get a stick, and she'll be dead asleep, and we'll just stand up at that time of the night, and she'll just like walk into her kennel because she knows that's what's happening, because it's time to go to bed or whatever time it is. And so, you know, dogs are definitely creatures of habit. When you're away at a dog show, though, keeping that habit, keeping that routine must be a really difficult thing to do. And I'm sure in this case, that's probably what contributed, not to do like analysis and hot takes and breakdown of dog agility, but I'm sure that's a contributing factor. You know, they want to take the same food. They want them to probably, you know, sleep in the same crate or whatever, but I bet that dog didn't get enough chances to poo ahead of time.
I just picture it as a time bomb, you know, it's like the time runs out and boom, it happens. And you never know when it's going to, it's also too, I'm sure the dog has like, you know, you play fighting video games or whatever, and you have a certain amount of stamina. And then when you reach the end of it, you just like, oh, fall down and die.
Yeah.
The dog just reached the end of the, you know, of
doggy
of its,
stamina
of its life.
Yeah.
You know,
of its poop life,
of its hit points.
Yeah.
And then it came out.
There it goes.
That was it.
All right. So this is a good podcast. I thought it was topical. I thought we did okay.
I'm glad you
not
enjoyed
pat,
it.
Not I to went... pat myself on the back or yourself on the back, oh, but well, or
oh,
ourselves.
Okay. You, so you're patting yourself, not me.
I said myself or yourself.
Oh, okay.
Ourselves.
Well, when you first started talking, I was like, oh, cool. Thank you. But
yeah, collective, our collective self.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I thought it was topical. Thought we stayed on point. Way to go.
Are we at 56 minutes yet? Is that why you're cutting it off?
No, I wanted to ask you one more thing. Before we go, and it's going to be quick because we both have to skedaddle here in a second. Did you catch the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary?
I did.
It was amazing.
You liked it? It was okay.
I loved it.
I like, you know what I really liked? The That's When You Break thing with Sandler and Sandberg. I thought that was good.
I liked Celebrity Jeopardy. Celebrity Jeopardy is one of my all-time favorites. Yeah. And so to see Daryl Hammond back out there again.
Oh, yeah. When I saw Daryl Hammond, I was like, oh, cool, Daryl Hammond.
To see Burt Reynolds. Who does Burt Reynolds?
Norm McDonald. Norm's one of my favorites. I loved when Norm did Weekend Update because he'd be like, Norm McDonald, there's the fake news. Yeah. And he didn't really care. He's like, oh, this is awesome. He doesn't even give a crap.
Well, Turd Ferguson and they gave so many nods to old stuff that, you know, that people really enjoy. And everybody always wishes that their favorite people would be on Saturday Night Live forever. I mean, you could make a Saturday Night Live all-star squad, but none of them would do it because of how taxing it is on individuals as they're doing it. But I mean,
and the best of the best move on to better opportunities.
Yeah, totally. And so I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing, you know, Jimmy Fallon, and I liked Jane Curtin with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I thought was really neat. The Super Bassomatic with Dan Aykroyd. You know, that the kind of original stuff. I mean, those guys were OGs for live TV. And I loved that Aykroyd was involved. I loved that you know that all those guys stayed in there. I also loved that they let, was it Melissa McCarthy do Matt Foley?
Yes.
You know, that kind of stuff's cool to me. Like when else are you going to get the opportunity for Melissa McCarthy, who probably loves that sketch, who apparently they're like her favorite character.
Yeah, totally.
On Saturday Night Live. She's never going to get an opportunity to actually act that out. So it's neat for her and neat for us to see, you know, somebody pay some respects to, you know, some other funny stuff too. So
yeah. It was super long.
Murray's Jaws. Come on.
There was bits and pieces of it.
It was amazing.
There was bits and pieces of it where you were like, oh my God, you know, but then it was so long. There was other parts of it that just kind of dragged and you were like, oh, this isn't really
like, I'm not a huge fan of the Californians. I know a lot of people.
I love the Californians, but it wasn't really that great of a Californians.
No, it was just trying to get everybody in there.
Yeah. And
then David Spade's like, bye-bye.
They didn't. Bye-bye. Yeah, exactly. They didn't execute the mirror, right? For the Californians, bungled it. So it was like, that's not good.
Right.
You know, they dropped the ball.
Right.
So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my favorite guy, my favorite SNL guy of all time, and this is, I guarantee you, nobody else feels the same way that I do, but my favorite guy ever was Horatio Sanz.
Yeah, Horatio.
Oh, man. He cracks me up so hard, and I love it that he always laughed in every skit that he did.
he cracked a lot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So,
and he was on for a long time.
It makes me
he
love
was on
it.
For a long time.
Yeah, it makes me love it even more that my wife hates him because he always laughed. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's the funniest guy ever because he laughs.
Yeah.
So when they did the "That's When You Break," you know, thing, and they're like, "And here's another one from Fallon and Sands," and they just said it like six times in a row, Fallon and Sands, and they showed them messing up
because they're the two.
Because they were the two that kept messing up. I wasn't a big fan of Fallon. I don't, you know, he's okay. I'm not.
Jimmy's awesome, man.
But Horatio Sands was my all-time favorite. Okay. So if he's out there listening,
Horatio,
you have at least one person who thinks Horatio. You're the best. You're the best ever from Saturday Night.
That's
Live.
Hard to say. That's hard to say. Martin Short. Man, I'm so bummed I missed him when he came to the slow. He was at the pack performing a couple years ago, and I missed him. So, anyway, thanks a lot for listening, you guys. It is the Hurricane Scroggs podcast. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on any of the feed type deals. And where you can listen to podcasts. You can find JD Scroggin at rebelmouse.com/JD Scroggin. You can also find him. Twitter.com/SLOCollegeBeat or at SlowCollegeBeat on Twitter. You can also find him at SanLuisObispo.com where he takes videos and writes stuff. He writes words for your literary consumption.
Things get written.
Journalistic consumption.
They hopefully get readened.
Written and readened. you can find me online at fansmanship.com, obviously, where you probably are, at fansmanship on Twitter. At Owen Main on Twitter too. I kind of rolled with two Twitter accounts. It's kind of confusing and annoying, but
that's and via email,
just the way it goes. Owen@fansmanship.com. If you have any special requests, which we've been trying to get to everybody's, it's kind of hard to, but we've been efforting in that direction. And so you can find us at any of those places. And thanks again for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Wick wick whack. At 10 a.m. I kick it off with a tuna shake and a Molotov. I pop 8 pills of Imodium, turn on a marathon on Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah. Wax my tag, bleach my pits, give myself epileptic fits. You know it. Custom Crocs caress my feet. Yes. Pre-game checklist now complete.